You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate to the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Are You Guarding Against Pride?
God bless the preaching of the Word and His people today. Amen. Today we're starting the season of Lent, and I thought it'd be a good thing for us to do to take a look during the course of Lent at the seven deadly sins. Have you heard of that? Now that's, of course, something that came from the Christians down through the ages. They named these seven sins, but they are in the Bible. They're just not listed as the seven deadly sins in the Bible. But I'll tell you, they are deadly and they are lethal. So they're rightly named the seven deadly sins. What are they? Well, they are lust, envy, greed, sloth, gluttony, wrath, and pride. Today we'll look at the chief of them all, the fountain, if you will, from which all the others flow, the spring, the worst, the chief, the vilest of them all, the father of them, which is pride. Let's take a look today at the deadly sin of pride and what God would tell us about that for our help in Christ and encouragement and conquering of it through Jesus for victory. So today, pride. What's God think of pride, first off? Let's take a look and let God speak here in the first, in Proverbs 6. Now here, actually, you do hear God list seven things that he hates. Okay, he says, there are six things which the Lord hates, seven which are an abomination to him. A proud look, that's number one. Then a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and a man who sows discord among brothers. So what's the first thing God hates in the Bible, according to that list? Pride. A proud look, pride, arrogant eyes. This God hates as an abomination she absolutely can't stand. So what actually is pride? Well, let me give you a definition. Pride is thinking more of yourselves than you ought to think. It's to exalt yourself beyond what you really are. It's making more of yourselves out as better than you are and superior and higher and more glorious than you are in truth. In other words, it's an unreal, inaccurate, evil overestimation of you. That's not in accord with God's truth. And what does pride do? Pride exalts itself as, I'm superior over everyone else. You're all inferior. I'm the best. I'm number one. I'm the chief. In fact, it'll even do that over against God and say, I'm better than he and I know better than his word knows. That's what pride does. It'll say even, I've sinned, but I'm not in trouble. I know better than the scriptures. I'm safe. That's what pride does. Now, are all uses of the word pride wrong? No, if you were in the Bible study this morning, Sunday, we saw that Paul uses pride in a good way, and he uses it in other places as such. He says, for example, I'm proud of my work in Christ, but he says, it's because I won't venture to speak of anything except what Christ has wrought through me to win obedience from the Gentiles. So, to be proud, you can say, like, you know, Naomi, I'm my daughter, I'm proud of you. You did a great job at school today. I'm so proud of you as your father. That's not exalting of self and an overblown evil estimation. That's just saying, Naomi, I'm pleased with you. Or Paul is saying, I'm pleased with my work for God. I'm not ashamed of it because I'm preaching Jesus Christ. So you can use pride in a good way. But what we're talking about today is the evil and most common use of pride. The exalting of self. A sense of superiority. and not taking the low position, but wanting to be number one, even with a stiff neck, even above God. So in all the seven deadly sins, there's going to be an animal we're going to use for each of them, okay, traditionally. But I'm going to choose this one for pride. Can you see that? The peacock. Do you guys live over at Villages of Seaport? Anybody here? Do you like these birds? I mean, they're gorgeous, aren't they? But if you live there, you probably don't so much, because they're annoying as all get out as well. They're gorgeous, but they want to strut their stuff around and say, look how gorgeous I am. I'm so glorious. In fact, if they see an image of themselves and think in the mirror of a car, and they think, you know, that someone is rivaling their glory, they'll peck at it until your car is all dents. And if you're there living at night, and I was debating whether to do this in the sermon, but if you're there at night and you hear these guys, they're always saying, look at me, look at me. Ah, 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 ah. Which tells you what it is to be proud. You think you're great and you are annoying to everybody else around you, but you can't even see it because of your pride. You think you're number one. That's what pride is. Remember the middle letter of the word pride, P-R-I-D-E. I, me, myself, and I, that's what it's about. And it's not just to think lowly or high of yourself, it's to do so in an evil overestimate of yourself, not in accord with God's word. It's exalting yourself as superior over against your neighbor, over against even God, over against even all things. And it is deadly, friends. It is lethal as get out. Why do I say that pride is so lethal, so deadly, and the father ultimately of all sins? Well, actually, it's the very first sin of man, isn't it? You look over here in Genesis, we see when the devil tempted Adam and Eve, especially Eve here, he said to the woman, you will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and gave some to her husband, and he ate. What was the sin there about? Don't keep the position God has given to you, but exalt yourself higher. Go up higher, even up to be equal, or maybe even greater than God. Be your own gods, and exalt yourself in an evil, overestimated, inaccurate, wicked way. So it's the first sin. That's one reason it's so deadly. And you see this, actually, in the hearts of men everywhere. Look at all the religions of the world, how they'll exalt themselves with their own idols of themselves. Hinduism, if you're going to try to get salvation in that religion, escape the wheel for reincarnation, you get good karma by doing good things and lifting yourself out of it by your own efforts. You're going to become God that way and become your own God. The Muslims, of course, they want to just do right. That's what they say, to try to climb up and ultimately be God, or at least be their own saviors. If you look at the Orthodox Jews, they want to do so by keeping the law. We can keep it ourselves. Our own righteousness will save us. That's pride. If you look at the Mormons, they want to get themselves up there as well and become actually gods ruling over their own universes. That's what they teach. And even if you're in certain Christian churches, there's something called Word of Faith teaching. You ever hear that? Which is basically the teaching of Kenneth Copeland, where he says, every Christian is a god. You don't have a god in you, you are one. Does that sound good? Sounds like Genesis, doesn't it? And he says, when I read in the Bible that where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too. Oh, don't go near that guy. But that's Kenneth Copeland. And you know what? In all Christian churches, and especially, let's say, the so-called Christian churches, you have sometimes people that are bishops even over all kinds of churches, but they're not in the truth. They are filled with pride. How do you know? Because if you share with them, look, the Bible says otherwise, by clear, open statements of the scriptures, what you're doing is sin. you need to repent and come to Christ and go in the right way, they say, no, I know all that, but I know better, I'm perfectly safe, I'm not in danger, I'm perfectly okay as I am. What is that? Anytime you preach to someone or share the word and they don't accept it, claiming to be Christian, you know you're dealing with pride. It's keeping them from seeing the truth. No evil shall befall me, they cry. And so their pride is keeping them from salvation. C.S. Lewis, in Mere Christianity, said, pride is the ultimate anti-God state, with a state in which the ego and the self are directly opposed to God. You know, it's actually, all of the seven deadly sins are really just forms of pride, aren't they? If you look at greed, what is greed? Grabbing, oh, I want to gather all this to myself so that I can be number one. Envy is meaning you can't stand to be number two, you want to be number one. Pride. What's anger? I'll even murder my brother in order to make sure that I'm number one and not him. What is gluttony? It is feeding yourself in a worshipful kind of way. What is sloth? Sloth is saying, I'm not going to work. Let everybody serve me as if I'm the king. I deserve to be served. And lust, what is that? But putting myself as first, I will feed my own passions and I'll just treat everybody else as an object. Pastor Menke, who came before me here, used to say that the kingdom of the devil is the kingdom of self. And it is very evil. It's the kingdom of pride. Is pride of the devil, do you think? Think about that. That's the devil's original sin. And unlike us, he had nobody tempting him. He tempted himself. We read over there in Isaiah, let's look at this. God says of him, this is taken of the devil, I think it is, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of Dawn. How you're cut to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I'll ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But God says, but you're brought down to Sheol and to the depths of the pit. Doesn't that sound like the devil? He wants, and it sounds like Genesis. The same way he tempted us, become like God was the temptation he was tempted with. The difference is he tempted himself. That's pretty bad. It's as if the devil went to a mirror one day on the wall, and he said, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? And before the mirror could even answer, he said, I am. I'm number one. I'm the best. I'm the most beautiful, better than even than God. So the devil is a twisted, sick individual, a decrepit creature with a way overblown view of himself, and therefore he's pure, very, very, very evil. But his sin is pride, and everybody who follows him also is filled with the same pride. And in fact, even in us Christians who do walk in humility, as Martin Luther said, Adam's forbidden apple still lies heavy in everyone's stomach, causing constant belching, and will not be digested, for even the true saints have something of the core still left in them. Isn't that true? You might want to live in humility, but the moment somebody compliments you, you're puffed up with pride, and you think, yeah, I'm great, I'm glorified. Isn't that wonderful? And your heart can be lifted up very quickly. And if you think, no, that'll never happen to me, Pastor, I'm the most humble person on earth. I could never be prideful. What has happened, but you've already fallen into pride. It's very sneaky, guys. It's very tricky. It's very deceptive, and it is lethal. So let's be very on guard against pride. Why is pride so sneaky? Why is it so deadly and sneaky? Well, check this out. Pride is the one sin that will not acknowledge its evil. Think about that. You could actually be a greedy guy, right? And say, yeah, I'm greedy. It's wrong, but I like stuff. So, whatever, I'm going to go get it. So it acknowledges it's wrong, but it still does it. If you're a lusty man, you could say, yeah, okay, it's wrong what I'm doing, I get it. It's evil, but I like the girls. So whatever. It acknowledges it's wrong, but it still goes that way. The wrathful man might say, yeah, okay, I'm hot-tempered, I really shouldn't be, but man, I like how powerful I feel when I feel wrathful. But pride, you see, is not so easily noticed by those who have it. What does pride do to you? It blinds you. Pride wants to imagine itself that it has no sin, and it claims itself to be righteous. Pride says, no, no, I am great. What I am doing is good. I have not sinned. I'm the best. I am like God himself. I'm just taking my rightful place as Lord of all. This is why it's so sneaky. It blinds you. Therefore, God says in Proverbs 30, he says, there are those who are pure in their own eyes, but are not cleansed of their filth. Beware of the blinding powers of pride. Therefore, God has to say things like this also. In Obadiah, he says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. You live in the clefts of the rock. Your dwelling is on high. You say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? But though you soar aloft like an eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. Oh, God brings you down, and a proud spirit goes before a fall. Amen? Mm-hmm. Are you going to be on guard against pride then in you? God says in Jeremiah 2, he says to his people, he says, how can you say I'm not defiled? I've not gone after the Baals. Look at your way in the valley. Know what you have done. What is God trying to do when he tries to break us of pride? He's trying to bring us into an accurate, right knowledge of who we really are according to his truth and his word. But pride says, no, no, I won't see it. I won't see it. I don't believe that. Therefore, God pleads with man, commands us, shouts to us from heaven, only acknowledge your guilt, my people, that you rebelled against the Lord your God, that you've not obeyed my voice, and I'll take you, one from a city, two from a family, and I'll bring you to Zion. I will save you. I will have mercy on you. Your sins I will overlook. Just come to me for deliverance, and I will save you. But what does pride do? And here's the real kicker. You want to hear the kicker? Say the kicker.
The kicker.
There's the kicker about pride, is it will not acknowledge its sin, therefore it refuses to repent. Therefore it is the chief, the worst, the most lethal, the most deadly of all sins, because sins, look, God can forgive them, but pride won't let itself be forgiven. It refuses to come to the Lord or acknowledge that it's done wrong, and therefore it's the most damning of all the seven deadly sins, because it keeps you from salvation. It's not your sins that keep you from being saved, God says. It's your pride. Sins damn, to be sure, but it's pride that keeps you from coming to me, that you might be saved. Pride refuses to repent. So, what does God do? What's God have to do? He says in Jeremiah, is not my word like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? He sends to us the law to smash and destroy our pride with a strong word. Does it work? Well, he says, do you not fear me, says the Lord? Do you not tremble before me? I have placed the sand as the bound for the sea, a perpetual barrier which it cannot pass. Though the waves toss, they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over it. But man does not bow before the God who made these things. He imagines he can do it all. You know, what is pride, ultimately, it's like a whale, and all the other sins are like minnows next to it. It imagines itself all overblown and great, when in fact it really is a minnow, and worse. It refuses to repent. Therefore, God cries, again, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Everyone who is arrogant is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished. And though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. But the prideful he knows from afar. And again, I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity, says God. I'll put an end to the pride of the arrogant and lay low the haughtiness of the ruthless. For by fire the Lord will execute judgment, and by his sword upon all flesh, and those slain by the Lord shall be many. Do you know that there is a day coming upon which God will judge the earth and all the pride of the sinful hearts of men? Think of how terrible it feels when your pride is finally exposed and you're brought low. You know, you thought you were looking really great at a party. Everybody's laughing with you and thinking, oh, he's so wonderful. You think they think that. Then you realize you had some cake smudged on your face and they're really laughing at you. Or some salad in your teeth and you look in the mirror and realize what you really looked like. Well, it's humiliating there, but what will it be on the day of the Lord when he exposes man's sins before his eyes? Therefore, God cries out. He says, look, there's a day of judgment coming. The Lord of hosts has a day. That's the day of Christ's return. Against all that's proud and lofty, against all that's lifted up and high, and men shall enter the caves and the rocks and the holes of the ground from before the terror of the Lord and from the glory of his majesty when he arises to terrify the earth. And the haughtiness of man shall be humbled on that day, and the pride of men shall be brought low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. So, is that how you want to go to the judgment day? With pride in your hearts and arrogance and thinking yourself just most marvelous? Well, don't do that. You got to come the right way. And what is that way? What's the opposite of pride? Humility. You got to come in all lowliness of spirit. That's what God loves, as we see even in Jesus, who came in lowliness of spirit to us. You got to go low. And so how do you go low? How do you destroy pride? How can you kill it and get rid of it?
Repent.
Repent. Good one, Bill. That's exactly how you do it. What is repentance? It's to have a right and an accurate view of yourself according to God's truth. Hear his law. Hear his commands. You shall have no other God. Oh, you've not done that? You're an idolater. Have you stolen anything? You're a thief. Have you looked at a woman lustfully? Then you're an adulterer. Have you not obeyed your parents? Then this makes you a rebel. Confess, as we say at Lent, and should always say, I am dust, and to dust I shall return. I'm of no account. And we should beat upon our breasts like the guy we read a moment ago, the tax collector. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, the good news is that man who repented so went down to his house justified rather than the proud Pharisee. For everyone who humbles himself will be exalted, and who exalts himself will be humbled. God will see to it that you see yourself rightly one day. Let's see ourselves rightly now. But what happens, though, when you do repent, Bill, or when you do go low, like you're saying, and come to the Lord in all humility, crushed and broken of your pride by the law? What then does God do? Does he then leave you as a poor, naked and ashamed beggar? Sounds like a TV show, right? Naked and ashamed? Something like that. Does God leave you in that low estate? No, actually, he runs to you. He rushes to you in your humility and repentance to then save you and lift you up. Before destruction, Proverbs says, before destruction, a man's heart is proud, but humility goes before honor. So once you go low, God says, watch what I'm going to do for you now. I'll give you a right new identity. You'll have a new accurate view of yourself, but in accord with my book, in accord with Jesus Christ, in accord with my truth. And what is that? You sit amongst ashes. I'm going to make you now a prince. You're going to sit amongst princes. You were condemned. I now make you justified. You were unloved, now I make you lovable and loved by me. You were cast off, now I call you welcomed. You were forsaken, now I term you married. Married to me, God says, and I'll make you my own royal son and a new creature. So when we do come to God, broken of our pride, in all humility, God says, but now watch what I'm going to do. I'll lift you up, and I'll give you a new self-esteem. This time, not an evil one, overblown view of yourself, thinking yourself your own God, but I'll give you a new self-esteem in Jesus, namely, that you're my son, that you walk with me now in the future. You remember your dust. You're also a prince. You're forgiven. You're justified. Now I'm your God, and we're going to go have a great life together and a great eternity and destiny. So before destruction, a man's heart is proud and haughty, but humility will go before honor. And so then, not to us, O Lord, but to thy name give glory for the sake of thy steadfast love and thy faithfulness. And what are we celebrating especially is that Jesus, who is the high and lofty King of heaven, came to us, came down to us actually, in great humility. Where was he born? In what town? Bethlehem, which is one of the lowest towns in Israel, right next to the lowest spot of dry ground on earth, the Dead Sea. There's no place lower in all the earth that's dry but the Dead Sea. When he lived amongst us, he lived as a poor man, though king. He came to us in great humility, and when the devil tried to get him to worship the devil, which is what the devil always wants because he's proud, Jesus says, no, it's the Lord your God you shall worship, and him only shall you serve. And Jesus said, this is why I came. Come to me of a lowly heart, and I'll refresh you. He says, I've come to give my life as a ransom for you, a ransom for many that they may be saved. And I'll tell you, friends, Jesus Christ, the great high one, has become low, that going low and saving you at the cross, he might then lift you high to be with him. Now, though, with right self-esteem. Not just beating yourself up for the rest of your life, but saying, look, this is who I am now in Jesus Christ. I'm lifted up in him. Therefore, all praise and boasting goes to Jesus Christ in my life. And you have a great self-esteem and a beautiful life in him. So, conclusion then today on this pride. It's the most evil. It's the most deadly. It's the most lethal of all sins. But Christ has conquered it for you. Come to him in all lowliness of spirit and put on that spirit that he had, who, though he was in the form of God, didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But Jesus emptied himself, being born a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in our form, he humbled himself and became obedient, even unto death on a cross. And therefore, God has highly exalted him. And he's bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Are You Guarding Against Pride? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg LaSere. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old recreation center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. And God bless you.
Bye.